What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you as always by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Johnny Cake Sawville, Eric Bickle. That is the foursome. Anthony Armstrong, former Washington wide receiver, going to jump on in about 20 minutes. Charlie Cassidy, former GM, Super Bowl winning GM, will join us at 8 o'clock. And Scott Abraham from ABC7 at 9 o'clock.
We're also going to take calls later in the show from Commanders fans to find out. One, I want to know where the watch parties are.
Yep.
And then number two, you know, just how jacked up they are for this game and whether or not they think they can win. So we'll take some calls later.
Will you attend one of those watch parties? Like, you want to hear about all these watch parties.
No,
I'm not. You must live vicariously through
others. I'm not a watch party guy. Yeah. My watch party will be my living room. Mm-hmm. My daughter has a couple friends who are Virginia Tech students that live in the Northeast, and they're going to break up the trip.
Ah.
One lives in New Hampshire. She's going to come down, break up the trip, stay over. Couple other girls are going to come over who live in New Jersey. So we're going to have our own little watch party at the house.
Okay, good.
But I'm not going to go out anywhere.
Right. When does Ava leave for Virginia Tech?
Sunday morning.
She drives herself, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
She's got her own car.
Hopefully the weather is okay.
Gotcha.
We're calling for some snow on Sunday morning.
All right, let's hit the skins, boys. Hit the skins.
I hope your flight gets in okay.
Brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. You need to hit the skins right now. Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case. Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code Junkies. You get 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great.
All right. This is interesting. Valdez has got some audio I want to play in a second of Dan Quinn and Joe Witt. I want to play that. But you guys may have seen this. I didn't see it. But I guess Lake Lewis had an article about Ben Johnson.
Right.
All right. And this is making me laugh.
I don't believe it's true.
I don't even know if it's spin, but it's kind of wild.
Okay.
But he basically says...
This is a knock on your guy, Ben Johnson, case.
He is my guy.
If you've heard this.
The prevailing wisdom is...
Ben Johnson.
All right? The prevailing... Remember when the infatuation with Ben Johnson was last year?
Sure.
And everybody wanted him.
Was that a fever pitch?
The prevailing wisdom is that he called them in the middle of the flight or something and said he was pulling out.
Right.
And that they were pissed and they turned around and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Lake Lewis says, and I wish I had it in front of me. I don't. I don't know who Lake works for, but I know who he is. And you guys know who he is if you're a Skins fan. Lake Lewis is saying he heard that Peters and company and Harris didn't want Ben Johnson because Ben wanted to keep Sam Howell at quarterback.
Ooh, I don't like that.
That was his plan. He didn't want to draft Jaden.
Okay.
And Peters already decided, we're drafting Jaden Daniels.
Sure.
Okay. If they take Caleb, we're drafting Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, obviously philosophies didn't whatever. And he was, I guess, hell-bent on it. And so I guess they called him and said, no, we're moving on. Mm. So and I don't know. Somebody did some great
spin.
Did
they actually turn the plane around? Like OAR is going to do a song about it? A variant of Turn the Car Around?
I wish I had the damn article right in front of me. I don't. But that, to me, is incredible.
Well, that's damn... If Ben Johnson favored Howell over Jaden Daniels, that makes me second guess him.
Yeah,
like now he's under the microscope a little bit.
Right now, listen, I don't know if that's religious history. It could be made up totally.
Sure,
but anyway,
I like the story though.
I like it too.
I like. I'll believe it.
Yeah, I'll believe it.
It's probably highly unlikely though that in early January they were already settled on Jaden Daniels. That doesn't even make a lot of sense.
Well,
they hadn't gone through any of the draft process.
But here's why. Here's why it does make sense. When they introduced Adam Peters at the presser, you remember that question where they asked him to talk about the talent on the team? And he was tongue-tied
for a
minute.
He had to pause
say anything. He knew the talent was garbage.
Right.
He couldn't say anything.
He may not have been high on Sam Howell. I believe that.
Sure.
But look, he did it with Goff.
What do you mean?
Ben Johnson turned into a star with Jared Goff.
Surrounded him with talent, he's for sure.
Yeah, wonders there.
One's
a
fifth-round pick, and one's the number one pick overall. Jared Goff was the number one pick
Jared
overall.
Jared Goff was a throw-in on a trade.
No one thought Goff would be this good.
I still don't think he's that good.
Is Ben Johnson going to sit
there? He'll prove them wrong, and you can make me sound like an idiot.
Well, I mean, his numbers are what they are.
He's got great numbers.
You know, the Lions put out something about Goff yesterday, or maybe it was this morning, that he's the only quarterback in NFL history with 15 or more wins, 4,000 or more passing yards, 70% completion rate, and 110 plus passer rating.
This year? Yeah. Well, I follow some little nerd that tweets stuff about all this stuff Jaden Daniels doing every week. I don't actually follow him. He tags me in all his posts.
Yeah.
Similar kind of numbers. But yeah, listen, Jared Goff has had a remarkable life. He's got a hot wife. He's got a little green in his backyard like Jim Nance. What a life. Okay. I got nothing to, whatever. God bless him. All right. So DQ, first of all, let's actually start off with Joe Witt because obviously when your team has success, you win 13 games. When you won four the year before, your coordinators are going to get interest. People are reaching out to Cliff Kingsbury. They're reaching out to Joe Witt Jr., a defensive coordinator. And both guys have said that they want to focus on the game. Here's Joe Witt Jr.
Joe, just want to get this one out of the way first. Your name has come up with in connection to the Jets job is a request of permission. Did you interview, and how nice is it for you to be in that position where your name is mentioned after the 1 year as a DC?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to try to dodge your question, but my whole focus is on Detroit. If I put any effort and energy into anything else, with this opportunity we have, I'll be cheating these men. So that's the only thing I'm concerned with right now. Yeah.
I kind of figured you might say that.
Mm-hmm.
That's his code for Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams. They scare me to death. And I don't know how we're going to cover those guys. So I got to go work on that.
But I believe
instead of dealing with Jets.
It's beyond just talk.
His name's out
there. He said that he's not going to interview until after their season. And at Kingsbury, the same thing. Which, credit to those guys. I actually think that's the right answer. And
you
it could cost you a job. But,
Or they could be interviewing on Monday.
They could. But a lot of times, if we keep winning...
Yeah,
could cost them a job.
I also think it's unfair that the whole coaching process and the interview process happens during the playoffs.
Yeah,
like I understand there's limited time, but you can't shelve it until after at least the playoffs. The gap between the playoffs and the Super Bowl,
these coaches they need to put staffs together.
I get it, but it is
it's part of the business.
I feel like it's unfair to the guys that advance.
The Jets, by the way, have interviewed a million guys.
Well, they interviewed
for
Mike
their
Locks,
job.
Like.
Here's
I love Locks, but I mean, is he a realistic name for that job?
That'd be stunning.
I don't know why they're interviewing so many people.
Maybe they're interviewing him to be the offensive coordinator. They said head coach, but then really they're thinking OC.
I have the Jets head coach interview tracker. All right.
Yeah.
Joe Brady, offensive coordinator of the Bills. Brian Flores, defensive coordinator, Vikings. Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator, Lions. Brian Greasy, quarterbacks coach, Niners. Vance Joseph, retread, defensive coordinator, Broncos. Josh McCown, quarterbacks coach, Vikings. Matt Nagy, offensive coordinator, Chiefs. Ron Rivera, Rex Ryan, Bobby Slowick, Arthur Smith, Steve Spagnuolo, Jeff Ulbrich, Mike Vrabel, Darren Rizzi, Mike Locksley, yeah. Joe Witt Jr., and Jeff Hafley. I mean, it's ridiculous how many guys they're interviewing.
No, that's like 20 guys.
Hey, you know what? You can't accuse them of not being thorough.
I don't have a problem with it. You want to get as many, like,
well, here's
as much input as you can for your next head coach.
Sometimes it becomes almost too many choices, and you can really get bogged
down. How do you distinguish? That's 18 guys.
You know, yeah, that's the general manager's job. That has to be him and the owner.
Some of those guys, really, they have no shot.
That's fine.
I mean, I don't understand why you... I mean, Ron Rivera has no shot at being that head coach.
He might, dude. Here's why.
No way.
He's terrible. But he's, for whatever reason, respected around the league. And then here's the difference, Jason. Remember, you got eccentric owners. Meet him and go, I love this guy. And they're just weirdos. And then the GM's not going to step up to the owner.
I still don't think there's a shot.
I don't think so either. Believe me, if you hire Ron Rivera, you're going to lose.
I think it's going to be, you know, one of the hot coordinators for them, even though the owner's crazy.
Ben Johnson apparently has said he will not interview for the Jets. He's told them not interested in you.
You know why? Because he's got that sort of clout. He has. Right. He can look at the Jets and say, well, I don't want that gig.
I think same thing for Cliff Kingsbury. He really shouldn't interview for the Jets.
Probably shouldn't. He should set his sights higher.
Yeah, stay with Jaden until you get another stud.
All of those teams have blemishes and warts. I mean, there's a reason they're all interviewing for head coaches.
Understood, but at least some of those teams have some quarterbacks.
There's a hierarchy there.
I mean, Trevor Lawrence can play at least to a level. And then, you know, Caleb has a lot of potential.
Yeah.
All right, so play the Dan Quinn audio. We have DQ, and obviously... Hold on. Obviously, a big talking point is, and I believe this, that you kind of have two teams that are in a lot of ways kind of mirror images of each other, although they're much better sort of, I think, against the run. Don't they measure out way better against the run than we do? Maybe I'm wrong.
Just statistically.
I think most teams are better against the
run.
Oh,
yeah, statistically, yeah.
They measure way better. But both teams prolific on offense. I think they score a point more than we do.
It's like 5 or 6.
Here's where the
points.
Lions are not good
is
against
it 33
the run.
33-29. I think you're right.
They've allowed the fourth most quarterback rushing yards. That's good for one Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
But they both are known for going for it on fourth down. I didn't realize that DQ was going to be this aggressive this season, but he has been.
Like, that's what we stand for. Like, we stand for competing. And if there's an edge to gain and a margin to do it, like, it doesn't matter till it does, bro. And so you never know when that moment, God, if we'd only done that, if we'd only gone for it. I never want to look back and say, man, I wish I'd gone for it. Like, I hope that's my legacy one day long down the road to say, man, that dude went for it. And I hope our team plays that way, the energy we play with. Like, that's who we are, man. So I don't ever want to back off of that.
He's a no-regrets guy.
I can't imagine he was like that when he was coaching Atlanta.
Because
he had Matt Ryan. He didn't have, you know, a running quarterback.
Right.
So I can't imagine he was going for it a bunch.
I think the game has moved this way, though, with the analytics being more and more a part of it.
Yeah,
the math is on your side to go for it.
I talked about how he did a deep dive about what he didn't do right as the Falcons head coach after he lost that gig.
He learned a lot.
So I think he's learned how to manage games, how to delegate, how to let Cliff call plays.
So the Lions rank fifth in the league against the run, just 1 yard worse than Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
So remember, Tampa was really good against the run, and they kind of showed that. I mean, they definitely showed that against Washington. They only allowed 82 yards, but Detroit's right behind them.
I think we're going to see an expanded role for Eckler. B-Rob over his last five, you know what he's averaging per game?
About two.
Not good.
2.97 yards per carry.
But he still needs
to. Not even 3 yards per carry. That's an abysmal number.
He still needs to be helpful. He still needs to be a factor.
Maybe. And on the flip side, Jahmyr Gibbs, and I actually agree, the fact that Montgomery's coming back might help the Commanders, because Gibbs averages 5.8 yards a carry.
Mm-hmm.
He's so explosive.
Well, maybe they don't. Montgomery's coming back from an injury, so maybe they don't use Montgomery that much.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's eased in.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are jumping on the Commanders bandwagon. One guy that might surprise you that seems like he's on the bandwagon is Micah Parsons. Can they find a way to stop Jaden Daniels? Talking about this matchup with the Lions. Mm. That's going to be the most interesting thing so far. If the game's on the line, you got Jaden Daniels with 2 minutes left and it's 17-17, can they win that game? He's the fourth quarterback to ever win a road playoff game in his rookie year. So if he's won one, he can win another. I'll never, here's the money quote, I'll never count the Commanders out. And that's from their rival, Michael Parsons.
Look at that.
Now he's got the Quinn connection. Like, he loves Dan Quinn.
Speaking of, DQ apparently has obviously still a great relationship with a lot of the coaches in Dallas. And I believe Riggo's Rag, I want to give them credit, they're pointing out that Al Harris, I think he's their DB's coach. Remember him from his playing days.
Yeah.
That played for Green Bay for a long time, I think. For Diggs and Bland and all these DBs playing well, that he could be ripe for Dan Quinn to pluck in this offseason, especially with the staff overhaul now in Dallas.
Right.
He could be available, seemingly is available. We have DB issues. He was a miracle worker there in Dallas with some of those guys. Watch out for Al Harris potentially to come here in D.C.
By the way, the FanDuel number has dropped. The spread has dropped to 8.5.
Ooh, okay.
But the money line has gone up to 5.10, which is kind of strange. But
what about the over-under? Still set at 55?
Still sitting at 55.5. But obviously there's money coming in on Washington when they were getting 10, 9.5. Right. Now it's down to 8.5.
Cakes, you're big on revenge games.
I love
what
them.
What former Redskin is part of the Lions staff?
Hold on.
It's been there 4 years.
I think I know who it is. Is Mark Brunell the quarterback's coach?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, very
Mark
good.
Mark Brunell.
Lefty.
Works alongside Jared Goff.
Was he the eight car? He wear eight
here? So.
Yeah. When he's throwing balls at people's shoelaces?
Mm-hmm.
So many balls
he
in the dirt.
He was okay at first. And then
he won a playoff game.
Then he fell off.
He won a playoff game.
And you know what? I shouldn't murder the guy. He was super nice when we interviewed him, right?
Yeah.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. Like, super nice.
You know who's great? I feel like Jeff George is great.
Jeff George was very good.
I think we
good.
Bonded really well with Jeff George.
He was good. We had him at one
we
of the
win
Super Bowl shows.
Over, even the curmudgeons.
We have charisma, EB.
We got the Riz.
We've got, we were the originators of the Riz.
You know who else?
Riz.
You know who else is on that staff? Scotty Montgomery, who I believe Scotty Montgomery, he played, I think he went to, can't remember where he played.
Is he an Ohio Duke? State guy?
But
am I getting it wrong?
But he was on the Duke staff.
Okay.
And I believe he was on the Maryland staff for a little bit.
Okay.
Scotty Montgomery. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the OC.
I don't know. You're going way back.
No, it wasn't that long ago.
Recent?
Yeah.
I don't remember that name.
Scotty Montgomery.
Yeah, where did
played college football at Duke.
Yeah.
Was in the NFL from 2000 through 2003. So well,
where did
he
coach?
Maryland, offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, 2019 to 2020.
Ah.
Wasn't that long ago.
Look at that.
Yeah. So... So kind of a local connection there, too.
Hey, now's the time for the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics Injury Report. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAOrtho.com. Commanders face uncertainties with veterans like Bobby Wagner and Jameson Crowder. They were limited in practice. Zach Ertz and Farrell remain under observation, though they could play a pivotal role if cleared. Standout defenders like Marshawn Lattimore, Frankie Louvu, fully fit. Bobby Wagner is expected to play. That's the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics Injury Report. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAOrtho.com. Coming up next, former Washington wide receiver Anthony Armstrong joins us to give us his take on the big...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Game. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV.
Man, I have to say, Mike Marr came into me during the last break, and it was kind of talked about yesterday. He's feeling maybe a Chick-fil-A, maybe some nuggets, a little tailgate before the game. Get hyped. If anybody wants to help the boys out this morning.
Also, a pre-day of game tailgate.
Yes. He loves Chick-fil-A breakfast. He thinks it's the best thing ever.
I'm up for anything. He's personally requesting Chick-fil-A. What is it actually on your menu item? Like, what do you want, number one?
Probably the chicken minis.
The chicken minis?
Those are silly. And this could be the difference. You know, divisional round matchup. Who knows, man? This could be...
Us getting breakfast from a listener could be the difference.
It could be the X factor.
All right.
If anybody out there wants to help the boys out, Chick-fil-A minis, how many? What do we need? Like, how does that work? But they sell them like six at a time or something?
Probably a decent spread. I mean, like a platter would be silly, but that might be reaching a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe like eight a person.
He's starting to get a taste on the free stuff.
He's starting to like that, yeah.
And he's starting to reach like he's...
Right.
You know.
All right, so if anybody has...
He's learning from Valdez.
Has access, works at a Chick-fil-A.
Sure.
Or just wants to freaking Uber Eats us some food.
Yeah, hook us up.
That'd be great.
We're shameless.
Right? That's essentially what it comes down to. Isn't that ultimately
if you want some props?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll give you a little on-air attention.
ADs.
We'll mention your Twitter.
We'll give you some ADs. Yeah.
All right. I see. Is Anthony Armstrong on the line?
Think so.
I think he is.
All right, Anthony Armstrong, who's a former receiver here in Washington, host of Believe in Commanders podcast. What's up, Anthony?
What's going on? I'm waiting to make my order for some chicken minis as well.
Right?
Yeah.
Who doesn't want that?
Spicy deluxe, man. That's the spicy deluxe.
That's your go-to? That early?
And Anthony, we're hungry, bro. We are hungry.
Hey, man. Look, if y'all talking about food, I know you're hungry at this time of morning. Y'all did not eat breakfast.
Yeah.
All right, so how are you feeling, man? This has been an incredible run. You know, I was saying earlier, Anthony, that, you know, I've kind of, listen, the Lions, that organization hasn't done anything, but they're good right now. I mean, that's a good team.
Right now,
I can't make fun of it.
They're hot now.
You know, they don't have the history we have. I definitely have. I feel like we're better than them, but they got a great team. And I'm looking at them. And I got 15 wins, and then I keep reminding myself, we got 13 wins. It's not like we're an 8-9 team or a Ron team with a losing record or backed into the playoffs. You know?
No.
Right. Why is everybody got? Why are we 10-point dogs and everybody just
down to 8.5?
Why is everybody just assuming we're gonna get smoked?
Man, I can't call it. I've been trying to figure it out myself because I mean it is an explosive offense and you can't disrespect that squad.
Cause,
I mean, they put 50 on people twice. They score 40 multiple times, but I don't know what type of adversity they've been through. I know they've had a lot of injuries. Okay, but on the field adversity, Washington has done it 7-8 times. They've won multiple ways, and I don't see why they can't come up with another one in Detroit. So that's why I think Washington has a little bit of confidence about them, because they've been through some stuff. You know that one guy who's always gotten A's, never had to ask the teacher for help, but the other kid's over there grinding. He's studying, he's doing tutoring. That's what Washington is. Mm. I think they're going to score a higher grade this Saturday.
Mm. I like that. Yeah, I like that confidence, Case.
Sure. It's funny.
I like Anthony's confidence that he films videos of himself watching the games wearing his own jersey. Right. That's confidence. You're wearing your own jersey in the videos. I like that about you, Anthony.
Hey, man, look, the fandom has grown throughout the season, right? It's just everything has grown, and now it's like, shoot, man. I got a whole gallery of, like, just responses of the end game of the season. I'll post that later on because it's been hilarious. I've been running down the street. My neighbors think I'm crazy.
dude, hey, do you have more pride now? Because I was saying, I have the Jaden jersey, and now, I want to wear it places. And I'm afraid of jinxing, but the last 20 years, I've been kind of embarrassed to wear anything. Literally, I just leave it in the closet.
Right. No, you're right, 100%. I mean, I didn't want to bring stuff out. Everybody's like, oh, you used to play? And like, yeah, I played in Washington. And I go, okay. And how was that? And I'm like, it was fine. Like, it was good. But then now people are texting me, like, how about those Commanders? I'm like, yeah, I'm selling you a ticket to the bandwagon. Come on over. Because things are good now.
Right. Hey, can I bust your balls a little bit?
By the way, Anthony, you wouldn't even – when's the last time you were – did you live in Ashburn when you were playing for the Skins?
Yeah, just outside of Broadland.
Broadland, that's where I live. You wouldn't even recognize it now.
I've been up there the past couple of years, though. We've come to the training camp.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's just crazy how much
it does look crazy. Got them big-ass buildings around.
all the data centers. It's nuts.
Anthony, can I bust your balls for a second? So Cakes directed me to your Twitter, and I'm checking out these videos of you going nuts. Dude, you got wires showing underneath your TV. You got to step up your game.
You got to clean it up?
Hey, man, look, that is something that, when I moved in, I didn't have a TV mounted, and there's errors in my ways, but I can always get that fixed. We can always get that redone, and when I do, I'll make sure I send you a picture.
There you go.
By the way, shout out to Sam Barbieri, who Venmo'd me $50.
Nice.
Got to start on some chicken. He put a little chicken head on it.
Better send some to Anthony.
Shout out to Sam.
Anthony's going to be upset. He's not included. Yeah.
All right, so Anthony,
so we got 50 towards whatever.
Yeah. Anthony, let's go to break this down a little bit. So the Commanders' offense, of course, has been great, but the defense all season long hasn't been able to stop the run. What are they going to do? If you were Joe Witt, what are they going to do to slow down this prolific Detroit Lions offense, which has, two really good running backs? Jahmyr Gibbs is averaging almost 6 yards a pop. What do they do?
Man, I tell you, it's almost pick your poison, but, the one thing that you could say is Ben Johnson is going to have some wrinkles. Initially I'm thinking try to throw Marshawn on Jameson and see if he can slow down that speed with some physicality at the line of scrimmage, but Ben's just going to put him in motion and do bunching and just break away from having that press coverage. So you got to put the focus on Jahmyr Gibbs, right? How are you going to stop him? He's explosive. I mean, obviously you got Montgomery back, but man, hopefully you can, bring an extra person in the backfield or in the box, I should say, who can cover Jahmyr and run up and tackle. Maybe a Quan Martin, is Jeremy Chinn fast enough to kind of, be in that mix. But looking back at the game against Tampa and the game against Buffalo, they had trouble against running quarterbacks. And then on that flip side, if you can force them to throw the ball, it's going to come down to scoring points and just make Detroit make decisions, because they've always played from the front. They've always played from the front. Washington has the experience of playing from behind multiple times.
Anthony, from watching Detroit on film, what makes Amon-Ra so special? He finished number 2 in the NFL in catches with 115. He was top 5 in receiving yards and number 3 in receiving touchdowns with 12. He's not the biggest guy. He's not the fastest guy. He's just he's a technician when it comes to route running, and he's super tough. Yeah. What makes him so special?
Man, it's those things, but he has that same unselfish trait that Terry has, right? He's fine to run some other routes that are going to get other people open, and that's worked well in this offense. So he knows he's going to get his opportunities. Hell, he's hella consistent. When you got a quarterback like Jared Goff, he needs to have that trust to throw the ball early before you're even looking. Amon-Ra's made a hell of a career out of it, and he's a guy that plays with a chip on his shoulder. It's out there, so he's a problem if you let him, if you let him get loose. But it's going to be interesting how they try to match up with all these wide receivers.
What is your take on, you know, I've always made the argument, just because I'm a homer, though, that we have weapons and they can do that. They can fill the roles. They're not household names. They don't put up big numbers. And I think this year, for the first time ever, it's kind of played out that way a little bit. Diami stepped up. You know, Oz has made some plays. Noah Brown, when he was here, he was a weapon. You know, when he was healthy, he was a weapon. What do you see in those guys other than Terry? Because, you know, you've been in that role before, but, you know, how valuable are those guys?
Man, I tell you, it's always been wide receiver two by committee, and that includes running backs as well with screen games and things like that. But Diami is the guy who I'm so excited to see him come on as of late, right? I think you're missing that downfield presence, and it's something that you've been missing all year. Mm-hmm. You know, Jaden does a great job pushing the ball downfield and is selective when he does it, but it's generally been to Terry. You know, there's been a few shots to Diami, but since he's been able to add the intermediate game and the intermediate receptions to his game, now he can be on the field more often, and you can really open up that offense. I love seeing how Cliff has moved Terry around because of how teams are treating him. And with Diami being a consistent threat out there, hell, I think that's going to help him grow. It's going to give this offense a little bit more of a dynamic, or you can't just go horizontal, you know, because, I mean, the Lions are fast at linebacker. You know, they can run horizontally, and they do a great job getting underneath play action. But I think Diami can make a play this game, get behind those safeties, and you know, if you can hit a couple haymakers, you know, you're going to give yourself a chance in this one.
What are you seeing with B-Rob? Because, you know, we'd have him on every week for most of the season. Last couple of weeks, he's kind of been MIA a little bit. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know. And he's been struggling. And I like the kid. And he's very, like, he's kind of a soft-spoken guy, actually, thoughtful. Yeah. But the production isn't there. And I've always tied it to, like, Biadasz being out and the struggles with the offensive line. But maybe, I don't know, maybe he's banged up. Didn't seem to be breaking any tackles. I don't see a lot of holes there. But I don't know. You tell me. What do you see?
Man, you know, I see a guy that's really just trying to get back on to the way things were a little bit earlier. You know, just got to play free. You know, just go out there and be confident. You know, you got 60 minutes of football. And the one thing, it's like you're thinking about the football. You get what I'm saying? Like, the ball, I don't want to lose it. Like, you're not going to fumble the ball, all right? You're a badass man. All right? Just run hard, run fast, and run with vision. Got to get back to playing football like you did when you grew up, like, you know, when you first came in this league and you were starting tearing things up. That's where you got to get back to. So right now, I think it's all mental. I think it's all mental, and he's going to be able to get out of this. He's going to get out of this funk because it's a fast track up there, and we need you this weekend. So I don't know if he's up, if he's paying attention or not, but we need you this weekend, B-Rob.
So you feel good about the game?
I do. Yeah. I do. I mean, there's no reason to come in here and not feel good. I mean, the game against Philly, it started out, what, 14-0 real quick. Mm-hmm. And then it changed quickly. Yeah, five turnovers were there, but they still came back and won. Same vibe against Atlanta. And, I mean, if you look at it, Atlanta was an explosive offense. Philly was an explosive offense. Detroit's an explosive offense. So, hey, why not? You know, there's no reason. We've got 13 wins now. It's not like y'all expected it coming in. You might as well go in this thing confident as ever.
We had this guy on yesterday, Mike Valenti, who does radio in Detroit, and he said, you know, to beat Detroit, you have to just get after Goff. You know, you have to get after him, but you have to also have to make him throw, because he tends to turn it over a little bit sometimes if you make him throw it a bunch of times. But besides Marshawn, obviously, and whoever he's going to cover, who are some of the other key guys defensively?
Man, obviously, Lulu and Wagner. Those two right there have been just game changers for this defense. Lulu getting after the quarterback, and then, frankly, getting up underneath some of those passes. Like, he's been able to bait some quarterbacks into some decisions. And you talk about getting after Goff. I go all the way back to the Super Bowl against the Patriots, and I think about that last play-action pass. It was a little rollout, and then they blitzed somebody right in Goff's face, and he instinctively threw it to the hot route. But Bill Belichick was very smart in that he put somebody to cover the hot route because he knew the ball was going there. With all that said, Jared Goff is a guy who plays within a system. He's going to do the same thing. He's going to play, you know, he's going to follow his read. If you're able to throw off his reach a little bit, just like you're saying, and the fella said in Detroit, you can make him make some mistakes. So time of possession, and then force them to throw the ball like you're talking about. You got to score points. You got to score touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
There's a recipe to beating this team. And frankly, you know, if they're in that down position, this is something that we're going to have to see if they can answer. You know, Washington's been here before. It's house money. They ain't got nothing to worry about. All the pressure's on Detroit.
It's house money, right? Where are you watching the game, by the way?
Probably going to be here at the crib, just like I have been for the past few weeks with that jersey sweatshirt on. Because it's working.
Yeah.
It's working. I don't want to change it
Keep
up.
Keep working it.
I All hear right. you, man.
Joined by Anthony Armstrong, former Washington wide receiver on the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. All right, give us a prediction, Anthony.
Ooh, the prediction is this. Washington, one more point than Detroit. That's all that matters. Let's move on to the next game.
I like it. There That's good go. Enough for me.
That's Anthony Armstrong.
That's good enough for me.
Host of Believe in Commanders podcast. Thanks a lot for joining us, man.
It was great,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, man. Appreciate y'all. Have a good one.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, take Anthony. Care, buddy.
Still to come on the show, we've got Charlie Casley, former Washington GM, won some Super Bowls. He'll join us at 8. Scott Abraham at 9. Hey, let me fill you in on the Burgundy and Gold pregame show. Tomorrow, starting at 6, Honor Brewing Company in Sterling. That's where you should be, Jason Bishop. We'll get you hyped for the Commanders at Lions.
Honor.
That's Honor Brewing Company in Sterling. That's 42604 Trade West Drive. So that's tomorrow, starting at 6. In Sterling, Virginia. Football Friday on the Fan, getting ready for the big playoff game Saturday night, 8 o'clock, Commanders in Detroit. If you're looking for a place to watch the game, you can join the Fan for the Burgundy Gold pregame show tomorrow starting at 6 at Honor Brewing Company in Sterling. Get you hyped up for the game, Commanders Lions. It's Honor Brewing Company in Sterling, which is on Trade West Drive, 42604 Trade
that place
West
is,
Drive.
That place is great. I think it was started by former military members, and especially in the warm weather, they got this great outdoor setting. Man, it's just a good spot.
So I was looking at our polls. We have the Junkies poll of the day at Junks Radio. You can vote on Twitter, and it's who's going to win on Saturday night. But there's an interesting dichotomy because I put something similar on our Instagram page. You can follow us there at Sports Junkies Radio. So if you just look at who's going to win, Commanders or Lions, 52% say Commanders. But on Instagram, I phrased it a little differently just because I had a picture. And the picture was Jaden Daniels and Jared Goff, right? Mm-hmm. And so on Instagram, again, give us a follow at Sports Junkies Radio, it's who wins on Saturday, Jaden Daniels or Jared Goff? You would think that it would be the same, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not
76% say Jaden Daniels.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's just bias against Jared Goff because look, he's had three really good years there in Detroit, but I think people still have a stigma against him. They think he's kind of boring.
I kind of do.
He's kind of one dimensional.
He's a minor league Tom Brady,
right? But look, he threw 37 touchdowns this past regular season.
Well, he had 30. He's got 67 in his last 2 years.
Yeah, he had 29 the year before that, so he's been remarkably consistent.
He has. I mean, give him credit. I'm not trying to hate on the guy.
Sounds like it.
No, it's just, I don't know.
You remember his last year in L.A. with the Rams, he had 20 touchdowns to 13 picks.
Yeah, he was bad.
And that's why, what's his name, Sean gave up on him.
I mean,
he became expendable.
He had some good years there.
Yeah. He did. I mean, he had a 32-12 season. He had a 28-7 season.
Remember how bad that Super Bowl was?
Was it like a 9-6 final?
Oh, man.
Something like that?
I think
no,
so.
No, there was like some scoring in the fourth quarter. I remember that Super Bowl vividly.
It was
because it was the most perfect squares storm for anyone who had like the 3-0 square.
Yeah.
Because I think it hit in the first quarter, hit at halftime, hit at the end of the third.
13-3.
Because there was no scoring. There was no scoring for the first three quarters.
13-3.
Well, 13-3, yeah.
That's got to be the worst ever. I mean, I know there's been blowouts.
That was Super Bowl LIII, if you're into Roman numerals like Valdez is. Yeah.
So what are we in, 9? 59?
59. LIX.
Guy loves Roman numerals.
So it was 2018?
2018, yep.
Sean McVay was just 33 at the time.
The youngin'. Yeah.
And was in the Super Bowl.
And I know we've said this a billion times, but Commanders are playing with house money. Like, there's no pressure to win this game. Even if they lose, it's been an unbelievable season.
Right.
There's pressure on Detroit.
I think there's tremendous pressure. You know, you always see like teams that go like undefeated.
Remember last year, Detroit had a 24-7 lead over San Francisco at halftime.
Right.
And blew it.
Right.
So well, that's now, that, now that wasn't in Detroit. If that game was in Detroit, they'd probably win it.
But that's probably in their heads.
At that, see, it could work both ways. Point. Because Baldy said, well, they've been through it now, so they should be better prepared if things go south. Because, you know, but the other part of it is, like Cake said, oh, no, here we go again.
Right.
So, you know, how are they going to react? I don't know. I do think.
It'll be interesting to see how Detroit reacts if they go down, if Jaden's hot on the first couple drives and they're down 14-0 or they're down 10-0. You know what I mean? It'll be interesting to see how they react.
I do think that luck is going to play a factor in this because you're going to have both guys, as we talked about, so crazy about going for it all the time on fourth down that whoever gets the better of that might win this thing. So, you know, these guys are gamblers, and they're big winners right now. Yeah. Big winners on their gambling. And is that going to continue? I don't know. We'll see. Whoever does better on all these third and fourth down gambles, well, really fourth down gambles. The good news, because I think Dan, I think it's borderline reckless, to be honest, in my opinion. I'm old school. It's borderline reckless. But Dan Campbell's the same way.
He is. So, but I like the DQ angle because he's got a mobile quarterback. Like if Detroit goes for it on fourth down, you figure they're either running it with Gibbs or throwing it to Gibbs or Monroe right. St. Brown in short area. They have the extra added element of Jaden can just tuck it and run and pick up the first down. Advantage, Commanders.
So Washington went for fourth down. They were 20 for 23 in fourth downs this year, which is 87%, leads the league. Detroit went for it 33 times, 22 for 33, so 67%. So combined, these two teams went for, 56 times? I mean,
it's part of their deal.
The only team
part
that
of their
had,
DNA.
The only team that went for more fourth downs on, actually, there's two. Cleveland went for 44, and it looks like Chicago went for 38. But everybody else, I mean, in the teens. So fourth downs conversions are going to be a huge deal, I think.
Yeah,
teams went for it on fourth down because they were trailing all the time at the end of the games, and they had to go for it.
No, I get it. I get it.
Look, it's part of their DNA. I think the other thing that you have to watch for when you play the Lions is they usually have a deep bag of trick plays. I don't know how you prepare for it. But, you know, they'll have Dan Skipper out there for a pass. They run a lot of trick plays.
Under 0.5 total punts is plus 2,000. Over 0.5 total punts minus 6,000.
Yeah.
You could gamble and say there's not going to be any punts. Be a big payoff, EB.
Say it again.
Plus 2,000 for no punts in the game.
So I bet 100, I get 2,000. If I bet 10, I get 200.
Correct.
I know Washington just went without punting, but you're now asking for both sides to have no punt.
Total punts in the game.
And Washington to have back-to-back games with no punts.
I'm not asking anything. I'm just.
You guys are
throwing out the numbers, yeah.
Would I bet it?
Yeah.
That might be worth 10 bucks.
Yeah, it might be worth a 10
draft,
spot.
That's right up your alley. It's 10 bucks on no draft. Punts. 10 bucks to win 200. Or 100 bucks to win 2,000, but
get so bitter the first series is a three-out.
No punts.
Either side?
Yeah.
Either side, yeah.
Because they go for it all the time on fourth down, and both sides know the other side's explosive.
Yeah, but they're already probably factoring that in.
They are. Of course, they're factoring in all the odds.
There's going to be a punt.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the brazenness of those two guys. I mean, it's much lower than it probably usually is for other teams.
Now, I don't have a ton in my account. Should I just bet everything there's going to be one punt in the game? I'd be so destroyed.
What is it? What's
minus 6,000.
Yes,
so I've got
it.
Like I've got like 850 bucks in the account.
Do it. Put it all on it.
Why would you do that?
Because somebody's going to punt in the game.
All right, so if there's one,
there's going to be a punt.
Is that
somebody's
going to
win like pennies?
No, I need one.
Okay.
I need one Tressway or whoever the Lions punter's name is.
And then you got 850 in your account.
Yeah, but it's not going to win me a lot, but.
How much would it win
you? If it's a pew-pew-pew-pew shootout and I don't see any punters, it's down
hey,
to
will you do
zero.
It just for the sweat?
I might
will
have
you do
to.
It for the sweat?
I may have to do it.
Because I will freaking...
It's a great sweat.
I will love that.
It's an amazing sweat.
All right, so 850, you won't
how
do it.
How much would he win?
It pays him $14.
Like, that's...
Yeah, but it's a terrible...
That's financially,
you can't do it.
It's financially irresponsible.
It's
of course it is.
It's too dumb. It's just dumb.
I mean, it'd be funny for the show, but...
It's good.
You're going to get one punt.
To win $14.
Yeah.
You're going to get...
Easily $14.
You can't do it. I won't let you do it.
Just do it. It happened earlier this year with the Commanders and Bengals, right?
Both teams didn't punt?
There were no punts the entire game. The time it happened before that was 1940.
that's quite a gap.
Is it worth $14?
What can I buy for $14?
I mean, you could get like a fish
barely
fillet.
Get a lunch.
A fillet of fish, whatever you call it.
Might have to. I'll consider it.
It makes more sense to bet that there won't be a punt and put $10 to win $200.
Right.
You get a small
fillet of fish. That's fiscally more responsible.
And a smaller fries and a smaller drink.
I would always upgrade to the larger drink.
I'm just saying everything's
small. Give me the large Diet Coke, please.
Yeah.
Don't give me that medium. Get that nonsense out of here.
Yeah.
I can't
let you do it, Cakes. I can't in good faith.
I appreciate you.
I have to look out for your better interest.
I appreciate you protecting my nut over here. Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, I don't really want to protect your nut, Cakes.
My financial nut.
Yeah,
you know
right.
what I meant.
Yeah.
Later in the show on a Football Friday, our pal Scott Abraham joins us as we talk Commanders-Lions. But coming up next, we have Super Bowl winning GM, Charlie Casserly.